I thought I was having a bad
run. But it wasn't a metro problem. I'm pleased to present the March 2007 Radical Social Report. In this report, progress made by RAC's subcommittees outlining RAC's initiatives surrounding the FYOA budget, safety and security issues, and requests for a replacement RAC member. First, I'd like to address presented at this planning development last month regarding next bus service. RAC had a similar presentation. In our discussion with staff, we as riders would like to encourage Metro and their August and October rollout of next bus service to consider prioritization based on reliability of bus lines rather than volume of passengers. Most high-volume lines tend to have a bus that follows within 10 minutes, while on other lines, if the bus runs early or is skipped entirely, the wait could be 40 minutes or more. In these instances, next bus service would be a welcome alternative to a long and known wait. Additionally, when electronic signs are rolled out, Metro would like to recommend that Metro use solar batteries instead of trying to run electrical service to these bus stops. Last month at our Communications and Customer Service Subcommittee, we met with Mr. Lendy Castillo to discuss a customer service failure on the Y bus reported by Narda Johnson of the RAC. She was trying to report disruptive behavior on the bus involving shoplifting and alcohol consumption. She was attempting to stealthily approach the customer service people without endangering herself or her two children. Unfortunately, she got the runaround. Mr. Castillo indicated that based on his assessment, information about the incident should have immediately forwarded to the bus operations for action. It would have been bus operations' responsibility to contact the bus driver, Metro Police, or both. It was his inclination that customer service needs to have a better process in place to recognize and handle real-time incidents. Ms. Vivian Fenwick has informed me that the two customer information agents responsible for responding have been disciplined, and the entire customer information center has completed a phase of formal training tailored to the authority on customer satisfaction. Hopefully, these actions will help in allowing Metro to respond properly to real-time incidents as they occur in the future. I want to thank the Customer Information Center for being responsive to the RAC on this request. The Budget Subcommittee conducted a three-day budget workshop to explore opportunities to find cost savings and revenue enhancements in the area of fare policy, non-fare revenue, criteria for service changes, and administrative cost savings. It was not the groundswell that we had hoped for, but Mr. Rick Harcum would agree with me in saying that the process was very helpful. Our brainstorming produced many ideas that we've categorized into approximately a dozen policy areas, which we've analyzed and discussed with Metro staff. Over the next month, the RAC will use the input from these workshops to publish a policy position report that can be used for the FYOA and in subsequent fiscal years. We ask for the opportunity to present this report to you at the May Budget Committee meeting. While I expect that Mr. Harcum will be using some of the better analyzed policy ideas in Metro's ongoing budget preparation, and I'm pleased that we've had the ability to participate in the budget process and look forward to similar events in the future. At the January and February board meetings, I asked Metro to make safety and security Metro's number one priority. Since his appointment, Mr. Cadeto has taken the challenge seriously by developing a formal training program, implementing bus visibility initiatives, and contacting with an independent superintendent for safety review. The RAC looks forward to participating in a focus group with the safety consultants in early April. I'm extremely pleased that the RAC and other customers have been invited to participate in the Metro Safety Program. This type of interaction is how Mentor can demonstrate both transparency and 25% of the initiatives that the RAC identified last year have a safety or security component. In my written report and discussions with Mentor Management, the RAC has proposed the implementation of a policy of personal accountability by frontline managers, workers at Metro. We ask that Mr. Cato enable bus drivers, train operators, and station managers and other frontline staff to take full responsibility for their vehicles, facilities, and services provided. I believe that accountability and responsibility go in hand to achieve superior customer service. Great customer service, in turn, each bus driver must take responsibility for his or her vehicle. A complete pre-operations checklist must be performed prior to putting the bus on the road, as is required by policy. There's no excuse for broken windshield wipers, non-working lift gates, trash and graffiti, missing maps and schedules, or empty announcement signs. The bus should be in full operating condition to receive and serve passengers. As an added touch, I believe Metro should have the name of the operator prominently displayed at the front of the bus with a message saying, "How is my driving?" And when a bus changes operators along the route, I do not believe that riders would be upset by a brief safety or operations check and an introduction by the driver. Likewise, each train operator should take responsibility for his or her train. There's no excuse for incorrect designation signs, door problems, inoperable speakers, mildewed carpet, or trash and graffiti, and the operator must be responsible for open communications with passengers about scheduled delays and other activities that are not being provided on a regular basis. Occasional delay is inevitable, but it can be better tolerated if the rider is kept informed. On the matter of carpets, we had an opportunity when we did the 7,000 car preliminary engineering to be able to see rubberized insulated flooring that Mr. Cato was recommending. And we believe that it's a very good alternative to expensive carpeting. I encourage Metro to put a sample down in the hallway out there for people to be able to see so they understand that we aren't talking about those hard tiles that you see in the New York subway system. Station managers must take responsibility for the entire station. The station manager must be empowered to work with their line managers to get inappropriate signs fixed, burnt out light bulbs replaced, inaudible speakers repaired, recycling containers relocated for effective use, and my favorite, trash and debris in the station or along the rails removed. Last week was another red line week from hell. The number of incidents involving smoke and fire in rail station track beds seems to have reached epidemic proportions. An engineer friend of mine put it this way, steel and concrete don't burn. Debris in the track bed is what's responsible for fires. Station managers need responsibility for scanning the track bed for debris and clogged drains and report it to rail maintenance. Mr. Cato has expressed the importance of cleanliness of the system on numerous occasions. This is an example of what can occur when attention to cleanliness is deferred. Thousands of customers are inconvenienced. During last month's report, I outlined our process for organizing and tracking our goals and initiatives. As I explained, we have two GW Public Policy Master's candidates developing the requirements and processes for tracking our initiatives from inception through implementation. We're currently evaluating Metro's CRM system as one alternative for deploying the system. Once this system is formalized, I anticipate producing a summary report out of the database to include as an appendix to the I'm very pleased to volunteer to help us with our RAC priorities. There are many universities here in the Washington metropolitan area that have a need for students to participate in the evolution of Metro through work study, as interns, as for community service, and for class-related projects. I encourage Metro to make room for these smart and ambitious members of our community to give their time and effort to mentors. In his first weeks, Mr. Cato indicated a desire to reach out to our local community to find the next generation of Metro staff. I encourage him to follow my lead. Three RAC members have connections with local universities, and we'd be happy to help out. It's not hard to find willing students. Opportunity that you shouldn't pass on because of lack of space and equipment, with some creativity, obstacles can be overcome. Finally, I ask the board to appoint a replacement for Ms. Katie Chang, who has stepped down as the RAC member from the District of Columbia. Again, I ask you to find opportunities for the RAC to participate in focus groups, workshops, and media events as Metro addresses the challenges of safety, customer communication, and other critical services. I want everyone in Metro, in the initiation of a new initiative, ask, what would the RAC think of this idea?
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. And I wanted to say it's been a pleasure working with you as chairman of the RAC, and I wish you continued success. Next, we have a public comment period. And does anybody in the public like to say something this morning? For the second month in a row, we have nobody for public comment. So we'll move on to the report by the chairman. This will be short, but I thought it was important to say something this morning as to what I've done over the last month as chairman. It's been a very busy month. It's sometimes very exciting and other times extremely sad. I attended two graduation classes for our bus operators where I stressed the importance of customer service and safety. Unfortunately, I also attended two funerals, the first for Martha Schumburn and at the Holy Trinity Church, and the second for Angel Walters at the Temple of Praise Church. I express the board's sincere sympathy to the families suffering from these most unfortunate bus accidents. On a positive side, I attended an excellent program held right here in this room for Black History Month. I was privileged to introduce the guest speaker, Frederick Douglass Gray, a good friend of mine, and president of the Black Iwo Jima War Veterans Association. He did an excellent job. I attended, along with my colleagues, Mr. Graham and Gordon Litton, a COMPTO reception honoring our general manager, John Cato. I also attended the Washington Board of Trade annual dinner. I made it a point to attend all but one of the meetings of the Joint Development Task Force, and the last one, I believe that's correct, was the other night, and I stopped in and attended that too. And look forward to that task force reporting to the board at the next month's meeting. And earlier this week, I was very pleased to be at the rollout of the Route 79 Metro Extra Bus. And I think we have to do more things than that. I'm pleased that it starts in Silver Spring and works its way downtown. Now, last month, I promised to hire an inspector general for WMATA within the next 60 days. This morning, I'm extremely happy to introduce WMATA's first Inspector General. First, let me tell you a little something about this individual. She has served as Assistant Director for the United States Government Accounting Office for both the Information Management Division and the Financial Management Division. She currently serves as Assistant Inspector General for Audit for the United States Department of Education. She's a CPA and a certified government financial manager. It's my pleasure to introduce Helen Liu. So the chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to move that we appoint Ms. Helen Liu to be our Metro's first Inspector General.
It's been moved and seconded that Helen Liu become WMATA's first Inspector General. Any discussion? Seeing none, I assume you're ready to vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Helen, congratulations. I have the great honor of being able to swear you into this office, and we can do that right up front here.
faithfully and impartiality as well. My ability to help you God.
According to the best.
Okay, next we will have the report from the general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I would like to welcome the IG. I look forward to working with her, and it's a good move in the history of Ramada to have an IG to ensure that our processes are fair and that we're following the correct procedures as we carry out our responsibilities. As you mentioned, earlier this week, we launched the new bus, or the Metro Extra bus services on Georgia Avenue, in partnership with the District of Columbia, the Department of Transportation. This new service will provide frequent intervals of services on Georgia Avenue, which will reduce the travel time on weekdays. The bus will run every 10 minutes, making limited stops, and we believe it will reduce the travel time of our customers by at least 15%. The good news is on the first day we had 1,332 passengers, and that's an average of 16 passengers per trip. That's nearly half of the projected ridership that we expect after the service has been operating for 30 to 60 days. So it's off to a very good start. We know it's going to be successful. I thank you and Director Monome for being there, as well as Director Graham, and kicking this off. This week also, Metro participated in an important town hall meeting with the Federal Trade Commission in the District of Columbia to discuss pedestrian safety following the unfortunate deaths of two FTC employees on February 14th. During the question and answer period, Metro was asked to explore the feasibility of an underground entrance on Pennsylvania Avenue to the Navy Memorial Metro Rail Station and moving bus stops further away from intersections. We are reviewing those various options, and we also provided information to the individuals who were there, and was a very large number of participants from the FTC, various emails and phone numbers that they can contact us when they observe any reckless activities on the part of our employees. Again, I would like to thank Mr. Graham and Mr. Monome for being there and participating in that program. We kicked off on Tuesday of this week a press conference for this year's Smart Street campaign to raise awareness, again, about pedestrian and bicycle safety in the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. As we've said, and as mentioned by the RAC, we're focusing on safety. We're focusing on safety of our passengers, as well as focusing on safety of pedestrians throughout the region. And during March and April, we will hand out campaign safety materials to customers driving or walking to Metro Rail stations where pedestrians and vehicles traffic sometimes create safety hotspots, including Benning Road, Georgia Avenue, Minnesota Avenue in the District of Columbia, Prince George's Plaza, Southern Avenue, Wheaton, White Flint in Maryland, K King Street and Roslyn in Virginia, to name a few. So safety, again, is the focus and the first focus of this organization. I had an opportunity Tuesday to meet with the FDA administrator, Mr. Jim Simpson, to discuss Metro's interest and its commitment to quality transit services in the Washington region. And as you know, he's been very well received in the transit industry, and he's a very strong supporter of Ramada. He recognizes the important role that we play here and in Washington, D.C., and the Washington area, as well as the transit industry at large. He did not commit $1 billion to me, as much as I tried to get that from him, but he is very supportive, and we have, I believe, a good working relationship as we move forward. From an employee meet and greet, as I communicated when I first began here, I think it's extremely important that I meet with employees to improve our operations and focus on our safety, because I believe that the best solutions come from those people, those operators, and those employees on the front line, as exampled by the article in the Post this morning concerning the adjustments of mirrors on our buses. On Tuesday, I went to New Carrollton to meet with members of the Blue Orange Line team from an open discussion. Yesterday, I took a tour of the Northern Bus Division and the Royal Street Division, again, to meet with employees and gain their input and talk about the commitment this agency is making to improve our services. Tomorrow, I will meet in Greenbelt with employees, and on Saturday, I will have a meeting with about 40 operators and union representatives at this building to discuss safety issues and also to gain their recommendations to ensure that our system is safe as possible. Yesterday, we had a new outreach program, and we were fortunate to have Aretha Franklin. She looked a little bit like our chief, talking about respect and bringing respect between youth who use our system as well as all of the other users and the Metro employees. It was well attended. I was joined by Mr. Mekame again at the launch of this program, as well as the Metropolitan Transit Police, who were partnering with the D.C. public and charter schools to address this issue. And I believe we're going to have very good response. In the future dates, we're asked the chief if she could give us some demonstrations of her singing, even though she decided not to do it yesterday.
Or not.
She will be, and her officers will be visiting local schools to present this campaign in the upcoming weeks. And I think she did an outstanding job. Metro facilities over the beginning April 2nd will be able to accept credit cards. Customers can use a Visa, MasterCard, Discover card, American Express, and the Japanese credit bank cards at the Anacostia, the Springfield, Largo, Town Center, New Carrollton, Shady Grove, Fairfax parking facilities. And this is our process of rolling that out, that we'll have one extra lane that would allow our customers to use credit cards and the Smart Trip cards. And during this three-month task, we will be able to determine whether or not we extend this to all of the facilities. I'm optimistic that it's going to work well and be a great success. The Saturday Metro bus and Metro Access riders may experience delays, and that's because we will be rerouting our services on 33 Metro bus routes as a result of the Wirefly National Marathon that will be in the District of Columbia beginning at 7 o'clock a.m., and we believe it will last until 1 o'clock p.m. Those are the events that I participated in this week, but I'd like to talk about another event. So often, as we talk about Metro employees, we look at some of the issues that negatively impact other individuals. But I want to talk about an event that was positive, and I would like to ask the station manager, Robert Wormley, please stand. Where's Mr. Wormley? There he is. If you could come forward a little bit, please. On the night of December 7th in 2006, customers at the Gallery Place Chinatown station alerted station manager Wormley that a man was having a heart attack on the Red Line platform. A 26-year veteran, Mr. Wormley immediately responded, taking the station's defibrillator with him. When he got to the platform, another customer who happened to be a medical doctor was administering CPR to the man. Station manager Wormley assisted and used the defibrillator to administer a shock to the ailing man. The man responded to the shock and was taken to a local hospital for further care. His quick actions undoubtedly saved the man's life, but he credits his customers who alerted him to the incident that night and who cleared the area with saving the life. But Mr. Wormley performed outstandingly. He acted very quickly, he remained calm, and he did an outstanding job and reflects well on all of us, all of the 10,000 employees here at Metro. He's been an employee since 1980, and he's been with the Metro Rail's Brentwood division for the last 8 years. I am pleased to honor him today. I understand that his wife is here also, Sheila, and she works at the Brentwood station. Is she here with you, Mr. Wormley? Thank you. Again, board, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board, this is an example of outstanding performance that Metro employees perform on a daily basis, and I'm very proud of the action that Mr. Wormley took. Concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Cato. I just thought it was important to shake that man's hand today. Did you have any legislative update you wanted to do? Or?
Yes. Yes, let's go to the legislative. Yeah. I'm sorry. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. I think this comes under the heading of Hard Act to Follow. Good morning. I want to give you just a brief overview of the legislation that's pending in various legislatures on the federal level and the state level about dedicated funding and our recent APTA legislative conference activities. As the dedicated funding bill, which we now refer to as H.R. 401, as you all know, authorizes $1.5 billion in federal funds for a 10-year period, beginning in federal fiscal year 2009, which is our fiscal year 2010, contingent on amending the WMATA Interstate Compact to do a number of things. Number one, requires a 50% federal, 50% non-federal matching ratio with non-federal payments to us to be derived from dedicated funding sources. It also establishes an office of the Inspector General of the Transit Authority reporting directly to the WMATA Board of Directors, and I think the appropriate word here is check, and done that. And it also expands the Board of Directors to include four appointees representing the federal government, two voting and two alternate members. We are working with staff on the Hill, and we understand that the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee may consider H.R. 401 sometime this spring. We originally thought they might take it up in committee in March, but we're kind of getting a little bit two-thirds of the way through the month of March, so we're optimistic that it will be considered sometime during this spring. On the Senate side, we've chatted with the staffs of Senators Mikulski and Cardin and Webb and Warner, and they are reviewing H.R. 401, and we have every indication, every reason to believe that they are very interested in this legislation and introducing a Senate bill at some time in the very near future. At the local jurisdictional state level in Maryland, last year during the 2006 Maryland legislative session, there were a number of bills introduced to dedicate a portion of the sales tax to transit throughout the state. None of those bills passed, but one bill was amended to create a transit funding study to look at transit needs in Maryland for the next 20 years. And that study was released in January of this year and projected a $13.5 billion statewide transit shortfall between 2007 and 2027. In the current 2007 Maryland legislative session, three transit funding bills have been introduced that would dedicate varying portions of the state sales tax to transit throughout the state. and WMATA would receive a portion of those funds, which would serve as a dedicated match. The Transit Study Steering Committee, the legislative group that provided oversight for the transit study, supports the three pieces of transit funding legislation. However, one of those bills has already failed, and it at this point looks unlikely that the other two pieces of legislation will pass before the session ends on April 9. A recent Maryland transition report recommended that an increase in the gas tax as a possible revenue enhancement, since the gas tax in Maryland has not been raised since 1994. It is also possible that the legislature could call a special session after the adjournment of the current session just to deal specifically with revenue issues. If that does happen, the governor would be able to budget new revenue when developing the FY09 budget that he would introduce in January of 08, or the legislature may just opt to deal with the revenue issues at the start of the 2008 session next January through next April. As you know, in Virginia, in the recently concluded session of the Virginia General Assembly, the legislature approved and sent to the governor a comprehensive transportation funding bill. That bill includes a statewide funding component which relies on the issuance of over $2.5 billion in bonds. It also includes the enabling legislation that allows local governing bodies in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads regions to enact certain taxes and levy fees to generate revenues that would be spent for transportation improvements specifically in those regions. It is likely, as you know, that the governor will send amendments to this bill for consideration. I believe he has until midnight Monday, this coming Monday, to either sign, veto, or amend legislation that the General Assembly has passed. And then we will see what the fate of that bill is when the members of the legislature hold a one-day veto session on April the 4th. As you know, Northern Virginia localities have expressed some concern at some of the provisions that are in this particular legislation. If it's enacted by all the Northern Virginia localities, it's estimated that approximately $400 million would be generated annually. And the Northern Virginia enabling legislation provides that from the revenues generated by the imposition of the regional taxes and fees, the first use would be used to pay the debt service for any bonds that are issued, and the next use would be to provide $50 million annually to WMATA for capital improvements. It should also be noted that as of right now, the WMATA dedicated funding provision is embedded in the enabling legislation for Northern Virginia regional funding. And again, the overall version of the transportation funding bill will not be known, the fate of it will not be known until the April 4th veto session of the legislature. And then finally, the APTA Legislative Conference was held here in the district March 11 through 13. WMATA staff participated. General Manager John Cato had the honor of introducing Majority Leader Steny Hoyer from Maryland, who addressed the conference. And just on a separate note, we are working with Mr. Hoyer and other members of the local delegation on FY07 discretionary fund and FY08 appropriations. We're seeking additional funding for new rail cars, buses, and to expand and enhance our school-to-career training program. And that concludes my legislative report.
Thank you, Mr. Feldman. You know, the board has its own authority on legislation in Virginia. I think Mr. Zimmerman would like to speak to that.
Well, I think we have a few people here who know something about the Virginia legislative situation, but I did want to provide a little more background and clarification. Mr. Feldman noted that the General Assembly did send to the governor a bill that purports to be a Transportation Financing Act. The good news is that they passed something. And the other good news is that it includes a metro funding provision. That's pretty much where the good news ends. The bad news is it will not become law. The governor will not sign it the way it is. Actually, it is so heavily flawed, nobody, including the people who passed it, wants the governor to sign it. At one count, I think there were 125 errors that were found, just technical errors, including references to, you know, sections of code that don't exist, so the money would go nowhere. So the governor has to propose something else in order to fix, even if it, at a minimum, the technical mistakes. But policy, in policy terms, it is to be charitable, deeply flawed. And the way it was passed, it would not become law. It depends upon the localities to essentially enact it, do all the revenue raising, since there's no help being given from the state level under the bill in any significant way at all. There are no new revenues, basically. But all the new measures would all have to be passed by local governments. And right now, as far as I know, there's not a single member of any Board of Supervisors or Council in Northern Virginia of either party who has indicated that they would vote for it if it were to be done. So a lot has to be done if there's any chance that something will actually be enacted. The governor's been going around the state, meeting with localities, met with us in Northern Virginia a couple of weeks ago, and trying to craft something that is actually workable, that Northern Virginia localities would implement, as well as those in Hampton Roads, who are also have a major provision in the bill. And we are all trying to be reasonable and compromise and trying to come up with something that actually work. And the question is whether those in the General Assembly who have controlled this are interested in making such a compromise. We will find out. And I, you know, can't say that I'm hugely optimistic. But, you know, we're certainly trying at the local level. I believe the governor's making a good faith effort. I think the Senate has always been ready, and the question has really come down to whether those who run the House of Delegates actually want to have a piece of legislation that could go into effect. So we'll know shortly. The governor will, as Mr. Feldman said, make his proposals on Monday. And then it'll be April 4th that the General Assembly reconvenes, and then they can decide they want to move forward or they don't. And we'll either be ready to do something or wait till next year. I am confident that the governor's proposals will include the Metro funding provision, so that if they were to become law, that we would be able to fulfill our part of that obligation. And everyone has made that point. The governor is very supportive, and of course it was in the original bill. So, you know, that's, again, the good news is if we get a bill, it's almost certainly going to contain a Metro funding provision. We'll have to wait and see whether, in fact, there's a spirit of compromise in the House of Delegates in particular. And I'll let you know next time. But you'll probably hear in the newspapers first. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Now we'll move on to...
Actually, I'm sorry. There was one other thing, if I might.
Sure.
One other matter from the general manager's report that I wanted to comment on. That had to do with the launch of the Respect campaign. And I just wanted to note that, you know, I understand the reasons why this is an issue, and I'm glad that, you know, these efforts are being made. I do think that something should be said that, you know, our young people, for the most part, are not criminals, and the vast majority of them are well-behaved and, you know, just trying to get around like everybody else. And oftentimes the behavior of really a small minority come to characterize a whole group, and that's always a problem in society, but I think it's particularly true with young people who are not enfranchised by definition. And, you know, last year we had a teen transit initiative in my jurisdiction, and we really wanted to see what kids thought about transit, why in some cases they weren't using it, those who do use it, why they do use, and see what we could do to better serve them, because, you know, frankly, a lot of them can't drive, and many of them we don't necessarily want behind the wheels of cars. And when they grow up, we want them to be transit users. So we really wanted to reach out to them. And we had a teen transit advisory council put together, and kids actually came and met over a series of meetings and talked to us about, you know, what they like, what they don't like, what they think. It was very interesting, and they raised a lot of the same kind of issues you hear from adult riders. You know, it's not all that different than what you hear from the Riders Advisory Council. But there were a few things, and one of the themes that came through a lot was that they often feel intimidated by the system. You know, some of that just comes with being a kid. But they are very much aware of the hostility that is often felt to them as adolescents. And I think a lot of times there's sort of mutual fear going on, you know. A lot of adults see a teenager and immediately are concerned. And teenagers pick that up. And, you know, I think we need to think about that. And I would hope that going forward we'd think about what we might do to do some kind of outreach and, you know, hear what they have to say, too, because many of them indicated that they feel a lot of hostility from people that, you know, they deal with, you know, when they got on a bus, for instance. And there might be, you know, more than just telling them, you know, we want you to behave, we might benefit from listening to them as well and looking at some things that we can do that might generate better behavior modeling on the part of our young people and get us some new customers now and for the future as well.
Thanks for the opportunity, though, to bring up things that were not perhaps shared in the media, because, in fact, this campaign came from a focus group of students that we've been using and working with for over a year. And this is just the beginning, and in the past, we've actually rewarded positive behavior. Last year, we gave out coupons for ringtones. This year, we're going to give out movie ticket coupons. So we agree with you. Just some of that information was not shared. People chose to represent a particular point of view in some of the media clips that you saw, and I wouldn't have chosen all the clips, as you can well imagine. So the assistant superintendent that we worked with, Diane Powell, Dr. Diane Powell, actually said some of the same things that you're saying, Mr. Zimmerman, that it's just youthful exuberance. And the students came up with the respect campaign because of what you really alluded to, which is sometimes they don't feel respected by the adults. So we've really done a thoughtful analysis, and I have a Sergeant Warren Donald who's worked very closely with school resource officers. We've tried to communicate to our members that sometimes they escalate things because of the way they address juveniles when they're just being student, you know, regular student riders. So we agree with you, and this is just the beginning of a conversation. So I appreciate your thoughtfulness because we are doing some of the things, and so you're pointing us or, you know, validating some of the things that we're doing. We hope to have messages done by some of the student advisory group that we're working with and that were with us at the launch of the campaign, and have some other initiatives that we'd like to do as well. So this is just kind of the beginning of something that we've been working on with this student focus group, and we had spoken to PTA and parents as well.
I'm glad to hear that, and I really appreciate that that you are taking that approach, because, you know, certainly what you read, you know, in the newspapers does not reflect that, and, you know, that may be a less dramatic or sensational story, but I think that really is important and key to getting the result that we're looking for. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Next, we'll have the report by Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee met on March 8th and has one action to bring to you for your consideration. That concerns the award of a contract for structural rehabilitation for the platforms at the Metro Center Station on the Red Line. This would be to initiate an award of contract in the amount of $1.3 million. Funding is included in the capital improvement program under Metro Matters. The work actually would be done, I believe, next January, February, something in that time frame. The committee recommends your approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move approval of the initiation and award, the authority be given to initiate and award this contract.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Amaname. Any discussion? Seeing none, I assume you're ready to vote. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No, nays. The ayes have it. Motion carried. Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Chairman, the committee also had discussions on a number of issues, in particular on NextBus service and new routes, and also on the Tysons Tunnel question. Since most board members were there and it's been extensively covered, I think people know the discussion, and I will leave it at that unless anyone has any questions. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Next, we have administrative actions.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zimmerman.
I'd like to move approval of administrative actions 1, 2, and 4.
Okay, it's been moved for approval of 1, 2, and 4.
Second.
And seconded by Mr. Kaufman. Any discussion on those items? Seeing none, I assume you're ready to vote. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Are they opposed? The ayes have it. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zimmerman.
I'd like to ask that administrative item number 3 be carried over to the next meeting.
Without objection, we'll carry administrative item number 3 over to the next meeting. Next, we have reports from the District of Columbia. Mr. Graham.
Well, thank you. I do want to, we had a wonderful day this week with Metro WMATA on Georgia Avenue when, as everyone knows, we inaugurated the Metro Extra service on Georgia Avenue, reducing, you know, bringing new buses on board, which will stop 15 times instead of the 54 times, which is the bus that Mr. Deegan rides, the 71. But this new Metro Extra is really welcome as a way of transporting passengers from all the way in Maryland right downtown, and that's a huge difference. I do want to say that we commented on this at the time. These are CNG buses, Mr. Zimmerman, and but I would like them to say CNG buses, even though their configuration is obvious to everyone who has seen our CNG buses. But we ought to put that on the side of the bus so everyone knows that we're as efficient and environmentally friendly as possible. If I could ask Mr. Monome to, if you, with the permission of the chair, to speak to the issue of the Street Smart, which was also part of our report.
I just wanted to thank other board members and the rest of the region for coming and spending the morning with us on the Street Smart campaign, where we kicked off our regional focus and outreach on safety in our streets. Obviously, this is a timely event. It was well attended, and I'm looking forward to continue to partner with the Metro and my role as the Department of Transportation Director and just the rest of the region. Traffic doesn't stop at jurisdictional boundaries. It's something that we all share together, and I think it's right that we join together on this initiative. I'm looking forward to this campaign and hopefully doing it on a more regular and often basis as we go forward.
Finally, if I may, to retrieve my little opportunity here, I just want to acknowledge the presence of Suzanne Peck, who was our chief technology officer at the District of Columbia. She took us from rotary phones into the 24th century, and we are just thrilled in the District of Columbia, even though she does, I believe she lives in a place called McLean.
I've heard of that. Fairfax. Yeah. That's Fairfax.
I know Fairfax, but she is a proud resident of Virginia. But we've really appreciated all her work in the District of Columbia, and I just see her here, and I just wanted to acknowledge the wisdom of our general manager in making this selection. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Next, WSTC, Mr. Briscuso.
I would like to say a few things. I expect this will be my final meeting as a board member, and I want to say thank you and say it's been a privilege, particularly of all my colleagues, those of you in Virginia. Maryland, thank you very much for the kindness you've shown me and the dedication you've shown. I also want to reflect on how much has happened in the short time I've been here. I had the privilege of working with Dan Tagmarini. Jack, you did an excellent job in the interim basis. And I am convinced that if my short tenure is remembered for anything, I think it will be the fact that I was part of the team that helped recruit and secure John Cato. And I think under the leadership of you and the team, everyone here, I expect Metro's best days are ahead. I do want to also say how sad it's been, and especially having had the title of chair of the Safety Committee, there have been too many funerals and too many accidents. We are fortunate. There also have been many instances of heroic activities by our employees, and I think it's if there's anything that I'm unfortunately saying I'm left undone, I'm going to leave as a challenge to you all. This is the time, I think, for putting things at the door and coming together and wanting to make this the absolute best system. There are some policies and procedures that need to be changed, and I learned about them and was unable to do something, and I think we all know some of them, and I expect we can make changes, and this might be the time to do it. I'll mention a couple of them. If I'm correct, you have to be a part-time bus driver to become a bus driver. You have to be a bus driver to become a train operator. You have to be a train operator to become a station manager. I would hate to have the best train operator from SEPTA or New York move here and be told, would you like to be a part-time bus driver? I also think that there are funding issues that we all know. We'd like to have more money for Metro Access, for safety, more money for customer service. And there are games that are played, and let me back up and say, one expectation I came here with, I've been greatly impressed, and my expectations have been greatly exceeded with the level of commitment and dedication from the rank-and-file employees and the union members. I have been very fortunate to have attended bus rodeos, and if there's every person that comes to work every day, we're very fortunate to have, with very few exceptions. But having said that, there are games that are played down here, and people are smart, and they know if they're going to retire in 3 years, and they can pad an awful lot of overtime those last 3 years with the cooperation of some of their colleagues, they can take a $65,000 a year job, and they can retire having the last 3 years having made over $100,000, which means their retirement is paid at $80,000 or more when their job was $65,000 a year for 30-some years. That type of stuff has to stop, and I want to encourage everyone here to address these issues and continue to make this system the best in the country. And again, it has been a very, very appreciated honor to have been part of this. The last thing I will say is I'd like to pay special tribute to my colleague, Charlie Deegan. I don't believe Metro, and I don't want to fool myself, is losing any super great, fantastic person. I'm just a board member that just tried to do my best. I don't think I'll be missed by a minute. But I do think that we're going to miss Charlie Deegan, who also, this is probably his last board meeting. This is the person who's gone to the funerals. This is the person who's gone to the escalator school. This is the person who's gone on buses and in train stations and has gone to graduations and knows the system inside and out. And it's been a distinct honor to have served for a short period of time with you, Mr. Deegan. And that's my thanks. Appreciate it.
We have Mr. Kaufman for the NVTC.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to continue making you feel uncomfortable. certainly, to begin to say something, I'm part of Virginia. Just very much appreciate the service that Mr. Scuso and you have brought to this board, but Charlie, particularly you. I think it's very fitting that your final meeting as chairman, that we're bringing forward the Inspector General. That's something that was initially embraced when I was chairman, but it took your leadership to finally bring it to fruition. And I hope our congressional folks from Maryland take note of what you were able to do. Also, in terms of being out there with the customer, I think the only other member of this board who could come close to rivaling you for use of our system is Mr. Zimmerman. I don't think there is I know there's no rail line, there's probably not a bus line that hasn't seen you on it. And that's the type of service that our customers want to see, and you delivered. Finally, I would just say that when it comes to our frontline employees, the men and women who are our operators, you have figuratively, and I think more than once, literally embraced them. but to particularly let them know that this board of directors not only respects but indeed loves those men and women who are out there being this authority on a day-to-day basis. And because of you, they know they have a direct contact with this board, and that I think will be your most fitting legacy.
Thank you, Mr. Kaufman. Mr. Graham?
Yeah, I'll be very brief. I didn't know this was going to become an avalanche of congratulations and commendations, but you certainly merit it. And on behalf of the District of Columbia, let me just say that everything's been said, we agree with. You have been a magnificent member of this board. We were looking forward with great enthusiasm to your chairmanship, and we appreciate what you have done for this system and its employees and all who depend upon it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Mr. Linton.
Let me add my two cents to the comments that have been made, and all of which I support. But let me just say, when Charlie Deegan first came on this board, I wasn't quite sure where Charlie was going to be headed. But let me say, at the conclusion of his tenure, I'm the most appreciative of his personal interest in the frontline employees of this authority. His interest and desire to reach out to them, to show them how significant and important they are to making this authority what it is. That's a very special, unique talent and a unique concern that he's delivered on a day-to-day basis throughout this authority. I think that's something that we all can learn from, and I hope that we can each pick up a small piece of that as he departs and let that be part of his legacy to the authority by our actions in trying to reach out to our employees once again and making sure that they know that they're important to everything that we do each and every day. But also I've seen Charlie's growth in his understanding of what a transit authority does, and this one particularly. I've seen him get engaged in the after sessions.
roll up his sleeves, take a lot of time to try to get under the hood to understand what it is that happens every day and how those various pieces operate. So Charlie has grown into the job, has grown to be a chairman, and we're going to miss him dearly. I wish you well.
Thank you, Gordon.
Mr. Chairman. All right, but I can't be the only voting member of the board not to speak on this subject.
Mr. Zimmer.
Most, you know, I can say, as Mr. Graham did, what's been said before, I certainly agree with and endorse, but I nonetheless think it bears repeating. You know, we come from different places. We're geographic representatives. We come, in this case, for myself and Mr. Deegan, we're on opposite sides of the river and opposite sides of the aisle, and so to speak, and it was inevitable that there were going to be policy matters on which we weren't necessarily going to agree 100%. And, you know, in the course of the deliberative actions of this body, which is why we're here, we've had our occasions to joust.
I still love you, Chris.
And, you know, and then in some ways that is the point. What I really appreciate very much about serving on this body. There is a long tradition of collegiality and a spirit of regionalism that has been part of the reason why Metro is the preeminent, and sometimes people say the only example, of real successful regional cooperation in the Washington metropolitan area. And, you know, it gets played out here. We have our disagreements, we have our fights, we argue things out. But in the end, we do have mutual respect. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, for both you and Mr. Riscuso, who you've only served with for a time but gotten to know, you know, I think each and every one of us can say quite sincerely, we are going to miss you guys. Entirely apart from whether we agree on everything or no, I think we find over time we agree on a lot more than we might have thought when any of us came together. We are able to work together. You folks have both, you know, exhibited a real commitment to the goals that bring us all together here. And, you know, your obvious sincerity and your earnestness in pursuing it is something that I think are good examples for everybody who serves here. And I really appreciate the chance to have served with you. Mr. Chairman, in particular, it's been said, but it's very true, you're somebody who really connects with the customer and the employee here. And you've done that a lot by getting out there and seeing folks and experience what they experience. And I do believe that that is a good example for anyone who has the opportunity to serve here to follow. So I salute you for that, and I thank you for what each of you has done as a member of this board. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Chairman.
You know, I came home at like a little after midnight last night after spending a couple of days on Eastern Shore, and I said I probably ought to write something down for tomorrow. And I've got just a short thing, but Marcel.
Carlton Sickles would always say, it's already been said, but not everybody has said it. I just want to say some of the things that all of my colleagues have said so gracefully as well. And Ray, that was a heartfelt speech, and we will take those things into consideration. Short tenure, but very well done. I'm very professional. One of the brightest individuals that I've met, not just in this room, but generally. And Charlie is the, you know, the spokesperson for the agency. He's the human touch. And it was a great honor to serve with you. And we still remain friends, and we'll stay in touch. Charlie always didn't agree with me on issues initially, but at the end of the day, we always agreed. And we served the county well. And the county is going to lose a champion in you, and just hopefully the person who's going to sit in that chair can be half as good as you. Appreciate you.
Chairman.
You know, Mr. Kaufman said it best. This is making me very uncomfortable, but go ahead.
Understood. Know you, Charlie.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I, you know, as the junior voting member here in more ways than one, I thought it was appropriate that I hopefully wrap up this discussion. I think, a couple things. Both of you and Ray, it's been a real pleasure, both in my previous capacity as the chief of staff here, to work with you. I appreciated the way that you guys looked at issues and really were looking for what's the right solution for the authority, irregardless of where you were sitting in terms of your jurisdictional seat or your partisan seat. And I really, really appreciate that, and I know we'll miss that at the table here on the board. but also on a personal level, I felt like I really was able to connect with the both of you. Good people, great partners to the district, and we're going to really miss you and wish you best, best of luck, whatever you do.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gene.
I'm even newer than Emeka. I've known you 2 months, but the only other call I got, the first calls I got when I was announced for appointment, other than Mayor Fenty, was you. And you spent 45 minutes talking to me one night about what to look forward to, what not to look forward to, and just acting as kind of a mentor to me. And I certainly appreciate that and wish you well, and certainly echo all the accolades my fellow board members have given you this morning. So thanks again, Charlie.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
My good friend.
I really would not have to take time to share my comments, because I think you know that we go back more than just the Metro Board. But maybe I would sum up the comments in saying both to you, first at that, maybe we'll have an opportunity to meet again in another venue since we've done so before, because you, the comments that have been made are all apropos. You have traveled all the way out to the farther ends of Fairfax, not only to meet your spouse who works in Fairfax, but also to experience the customer's piece. And I think that's very important, and I think we take a lot from your service and appreciate it. Thank you to both of you. But I think we can conclude this by saying that you can conclude today as a marker of an exceptional tenure here, and we look forward to being able to hopefully demonstrate to you, as you continue to be a Metro customer, that we've taken from both of you the good contributions you've made, and we'll work toward that regionalism that's so important that you've both spoken to. Thanks.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Mayor of Alexandria.
I wasn't going to say anything, but since everyone else did, I'm just going to say that I'm going to yield to you to make your comments, but I look forward to continue working with you without relations and issues dealing with, not issues, but challenges dealing with the National Harbor Project and the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. So we're going to miss you, and Ray, and congratulations and thank you.
Thank you very much. It's, you know, what do I say now? I really came home last night and I said, yeah, I'll go down and type something out real quick. And you know, lots of thoughts go through your head. But this will be my last meeting as chairman and member of the WMATA Board of Directors, which I dearly love serving on. I want to take a few minutes to reflect on, you know, my time here at WMATA. Over the last 3 years, there have been several accomplishments that I'm very proud of. I guess, you know, I don't know how you measure those, but one of the smaller things, but one of the great things I think we did was posting the fares on the fare card machines. I mentioned it before. It's a suggestion that I got when I went to a station manager or a customer service hi-fi class. I said, how simple, and we were able to do that. And rewarding the bus operators who have driven a bus. Everybody's going to cringe now because you know I'm going to talk about my million-mile bus drivers. More miles without it, driven a million or more miles without an accident or incident. That's just amazing. And I understand that their monetary awards are in accounting. And so, Chuck, would you see that they get processed pretty quickly for these guys? I was able to come in as chairman and immediately save the authority in the board's budget of about $25,000 in overtime costs by having the board packet just mailed out to us instead of hand-delivered by a Metro employee. Sorry about that for the guys in the mailroom. I enjoyed talking to you. And one of the most important things is probably improving WMATA's transparency and accountability and holding town meetings throughout the region and hiring that inspector general. Perhaps the accomplishment which I am most proudest is the hiring of John Cato as our general manager. I leave knowing that WMATA is in John's very capable hands, and very proud to see you sit in that chair, Mr. Cato. Now, I do regret several things that are yet unfinished, and like Ray, hopefully my colleagues will take some of these up and and get them done. One of the things, Mr. Cady, you mentioned earlier was next week we're going to start that pilot program of credited parking, where it allows a customer to have a choice of paying for parking with a credit card or either their Smart Trip card. You know, when that's implemented throughout the system, we will no longer have visitors coming to the Washington metropolitan area that are going to feel ripped off by WMATA by having to pay that $10 for that Smart Trip card to park it for $3.50 in a garage. I realize it's more in your jurisdiction. I hope that pilot project will be soon be expanded to the entire system. Our police officers, train operators, and customers need to know that we have a telephone and radio communication system that work throughout the Metro Rail system. That has to be done. And we owe it to everyone of that group to get that done and get it done so it works properly. I know Mr. Zimmerman will be working on those telephones for me. So that's something we did share, Chris, and I'm sure you guys will get it done. I hope WMATA will soon eliminate the paper transfers and find a way to make that Smart Trip card technology work for buses throughout the region and benefit the riding public this year. And having been a major backer of the Joint Development Task Force, I'm sorry to leave before that group's recommendations have been implemented or presented to the board. But recently, a good friend of mine asked me what my fondest memory of WMATA would be. I really didn't have to think long because the answer was quite simple. It's the many hundreds of fine people who I met that work for WMATA. As you know, I believe you have to like people to be a good civil servant. And I both like and admire the employees of WMATA, like Ray mentioned earlier. It's no secret that my two favorite groups are the transit police and the bus operations. I've been honored to attend all but one transit officer graduation since I joined the board. And I got to say, we have one great police chief in Polly Hansen. In bus operations, I continue to be amazed by those million-mile bus drivers, and always will. Led appropriately enough by Robert Miles, who is an 18-time bus rodeo winner. Jack Requa, Phil Wallace, Bob Golden, and Steve Petricelli, I have to mention, have not only done a good job in getting those 417 new buses on the road this past year. Sorry they weren't CNG, but we do have that hybrid electric technology rolling around out there. But they've also become good friends and share my interest in sports. So I'll see you at the games, guys. I've been very impressed with Fred Gordine. You know, WMATA's safety officer. He's responded to the recent safety lapses, and I have every confidence between John Cato and Fred Gordine, WMATA will soon emerge as America's best and safest transit system. I could go on forever naming the good people here at WMATA, but I won't. Except to thank Leander Chambliss, Denise Pinera, Pena, and Sarah Wilson, basically for putting up with me for the last 2 months. Appreciate it. I guess I want to just leave with the words that I try to live by every day, is that I think we should love people and not things, and use things and not people. So, to my colleagues, it has been an extremely high honor and pleasure to serve with each and every one of you, and it's a memory I'll take to my grave. So thank you very much. Again, and now I would like to move that the board meet an executive session to discuss legal and personnel matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6.2 and 6.3.
Second.
So move to second and discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
We'll meet an executive session. Okay,